blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood, and what He did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior.
Trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
That's why I trust Him. I saw the Lord and He heard. Amen. Amen. That's going to be our pre-worship this coming Sunday. Just a reminder, we will be back here in the fellowship hall again this Sunday. That's probably going to be for a few weeks that we'll be doing that until we get the unit in for the sanctuary. So please bear with us with that, but encourage you to come. Don't use that as an excuse not to come for church. You're going to be wonderfully blessed each Sunday. Want to welcome those who are on all our social media platforms. Thank you for being there with us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Be sure to heart, like, share, follow, subscribe, do all those things. It helps get the word out there. Welcome to those on our phone live streaming. Thank you for being there with us also. If you know somebody who needs that number, we'll be glad to share that with you. Also, don't forget there are some bulletins, I think, maybe out there in the foyer area out there, so pick up one of those. If not, there are at the other door as you came in by the sanctuary. Be sure to grab one of those with some of the upcoming activities. There's announcements in there you'll want to pay attention to. We've got children's worship bulletins. Those are on the table back here at the back of the fellowship hall. Please be sure to get one of those. And then the prayer list, I think we're out of the ones that were up here at the front. The rest of them are back there at the back, so if you didn't get one as you came in, be sure to get one of the prayer lists there. If you're at home, we encourage you to go to highlandbaptistchurch.com. Over in the info tab, that's where you can download all of those things that we just mentioned. So be sure to get that ready. If you're at home and you're watching on Facebook especially, please give us your prayer requests there. That's where we'll be watching the live here as I'm watching on my phone to see if you give any prayer requests that we can include in our time tonight. And while you're there on the church website, you can go to the far right-hand side, click the Give Online tab there, and do your online giving. Easy platform there set up for you to be able to do that. Let me just give you a couple of quick announcements that we want to share with you to remind you of some upcoming things. Don't forget about Prime Timers. There's not a sign-up sheet on the board for that because it's a potluck that we're doing this coming Tuesday, and so bring your favorite meats, your favorite sides, bring your favorite desserts, whatever you want to bring there for that. We'll be providing the drinks for that, so I encourage you to plan and come. That's August the 11th at 12 o'clock. Be sure to be there. You're going to have a wonderful time of blessing and fellowship with one another. And then also, don't forget, we do have sign-up sheets for Awana volunteers. We do kind of get a little bit of an extra week this year because we always start Awana the Wednesday night after Labor Day. Because of the way Labor Day falls, our kickoff will not be till the first Wednesday in September. So we get all of August that you still can rest and relax and be encouraged, but there is going to be a training meeting coming up, so you want to pay attention for that. See myself, see Miss Linda, we'll get you more information. There's a long list of things that you can sign up for on the board out in the hallway across from the offices. And then we've got something here tonight with us. We've got some backpacks. We mentioned this in the newsletter. If you got your newsletter, you've seen that. We're doing our Christmas backpacks. I know it's August, but our collection for those is in October when we actually, well, not our collection, but when we actually have to take those to the collection center. But we're using this month for you to pick up one of the backpacks. Boys are on the right-hand side, on your right-hand side. Girls are on the left-hand side up here. There is a card that's up here that tells you some of the things, suggested things you could put in the bags. It already has a Bible in it. It already has the gospel tract that the Tennessee Baptist Mission Board wants us to put in there. Those are all in the front pocket already. So all you have to do is fill the rest of the bag with the items. But if you pick up one tonight, there is a sheet of paper on the right-hand side up there. If you would just take a moment and sign your name there and write out beside it which one you chose, a boy or a girl, what age. It has a little tag on each one. The little tag is like this. It tells you girl or boy on one side with the ages, and then it tells you some suggested sizes for those. You don't have to stick with that, but there's some suggested sizes for clothes listed on those. So be sure to grab one of those. Those will be available Sunday. We will be adding some more. There's probably more boys than there are girls, but we have some more of our tags to be able to do that with. We've got some more bags that'll be coming in a little bit later. So if you don't get one, those get gone this Sunday. Don't worry, we will be having some more that will be coming in a little bit later. I think that's all the announcements that I had. Thank you for your prayers as we were gone this past Sunday. Thank you for Pastor Matt, who filled in for us. We listened on the way back, and everything sounded great there. So, Brother Mike, if you'll come and lead us.
Well, you don't have to take your hymnal. But you do have to sing. Great is thy faithfulness. Hymn 54. Ms. Gail?
Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, joined with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings of mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Amen. And Brother Mike does a great job there coming up with whatever songs to sing on Wednesday night, and he didn't even have my sermon for tonight other than knowing I'm in Jeremiah chapter 32, and so that is exactly what we're going to be talking about tonight in our passage. So let me direct your attention. If you're at home, hopefully you've got your prayer list downloaded there. If you haven't, please do that. If you've got some prayer requests, go over to Facebook and put those there. You can do that, as we've said many times, on any of the platforms. We just won't see it for the live. We'll be able to add it the next time to the prayer list. Or you can call the church office and we'll get it on the prayer list there also. So on our prayer list tonight, hopefully if you've got one in person, they're at the back if you missed that, somewhere back there, so be sure to grab one of those. On our Highland Baptist Church family side, we have Carolyn Stone, Arthur Hargrove. Stop me if you have any updates on any of these, and I'll give a pause there at the end if we miss somebody. Remember Miss Betsy Farrell, Mark Raymond, Sandra Wells. Let me share with you Sandra's. She is actually going to be having some surgery tomorrow at 7:30 at Vanderbilt in Nashville. The baclofen pumps that she has only last 7 years, and they replace them every 6.5 years. And this will be her fourth that she's had. So her surgery is going to be tomorrow at Vanderbilt in Nashville. It's supposed to be same day, but she has some issues sometimes coming out of anesthesia well, and has had to stay overnight one time. And so please pray for her for that everything will go well with her procedure tomorrow. So hopefully it'll be a same day deal, and she'll be able to go back home tomorrow. So wanted to share that with you. Remember Amy Jackson? She's had a rough couple of days. She went home early on Monday and then was throwing up that day, threw up yesterday, and went to see the doctor today. But I've not heard an update from her on what the doctor has decided to do. So just continue to keep her in your prayers with her stage 4 renal cell carcinoma and the things that she's going through. Remember George Duncan? Just continue to keep him in your prayers. Saw a picture of him recently at Tullahoma Drug. You may have seen that. And so he looked pretty good there, even though he was having to be in the wheelchair. Remember Ken Tatum with his blood cancer chemo treatments. Remember Gordon Jackson, who's recovering at home. Remember Tommy Griffin. They've been having to make some major decisions with him, so keep him in your prayers. Keep Brenda in your prayers. Remember Gail McBride. She's got several things going on with her back surgery and some other things there, so keep her in your prayers. Remember Gayla Everett. Recovering at home. Remember Beth Kidd, Linda Jones, Leanne Wells with her ongoing pain, Catherine Smith, who's recovering at home, J.W. Jackson with his lung disease. Miss Imogen Smith, it's a slow process for her. She is still doing rehab at home, but that just takes a while to continue to get more strength in her hand. So keep her in your prayers. And then Diane Tatum, who's recovering from her hip surgery. And then Kay Fox has her surgery upcoming. So I want to remember her in prayer. That'll be next week, not this week, but next week. So keep her in your prayers. Any other updates on any of those? All right. I don't see any others online there either. If you'll move over to our friends and family side, I want to continue to remember our military, continue to pray for our music search committee, pray for the Meredith family serving in Moldova. Just keep them in your prayers with things that they are continually going through, and always seeking to find new ways to share the gospel there. You'll notice in your bulletins the specific prayer requests there from them, so be sure to keep them in your prayers on a regular basis. Pray for the Calgary mission trips. All of those have completed. All those have been done. Just pray for the ongoing work and the results of what happened there, the follow-up that will continue from those mission trips. There's a lot of things that are going on there with opposition from other groups towards Christianity there in Calgary. And so keep those churches in your prayers, and especially the Aspen Network there with Kelly Reed. Remember Buddy Saunders in your prayers, Mamie Thompson, Crystal Schroyer, Barbara Prince. Remember Virginia Counts, Jack Young, Rhonda Morris, Peggy Doyle, Jimmy Williams, Mary Liebig. Remember Lonnie Lance, Hanka Graham, Marion Burks, Jace Norman. He still continues to have some issues here and there. His mom sent me a picture just recently of a scan of his brain, and he has like 5 discs that are in his head that are holding the cranium pieces together there as he continues to heal from that. So just keep him in your prayers. They have noticed a spot here or there, but from the reports I've seen, it looks like maybe a kidney stone, not anything major, just a small thing that should pass very easily. His blood work has had a little bit of issues, not white blood cell, but red blood cell has been elevated a little bit. So that could be some of the issues that he's having there too with that. So keep him in your prayers as he continues to progress through his rehab at home. Remember Catherine Sargent, who is recovering at home. Remember John Sakich. I remember Philip Tatum, Joanne Woodson. She's still about the same. Remember Greg Perry, Bethany Stringfield Brooks.
She had her 6 weeks follow-up today, and she got released, not totally.
Okay.
Some of her limitations, they got to take off. Part of that being she's able to live with her children now, and she was so excited to, and they were excited to be able to.
And this is her 6 week.
This was for 6 weeks.
Yes. Okay. Okay, so all right. So with Bethany, her hearing test won't be till November 4th. But everything went good with her follow up from her surgery visit that she did. I've been released from some of the restrictions that she had, been able to pick up the kids, and that's probably one of the big things there. So praise the Lord for that. Thank you for praying at home for her. Remember Hartley Carlton, Ashley and Max got to go with us this past weekend, and they went on over to Mountain City, got to see him, visit with him. Maybe a little bit better than expected to see him the way he was, but still, he will progressively continue to get worse there. So just keep him and that family in your prayers. Remember Karen Klang, Parker Crouch. You want to share again with Parker Crouch's? Okay, and that's Parker Krauts. They just recently moved in the last few weeks, and then he was placed in the skilled facility unit to be there for 6 to 8 weeks. He is slowly progressing, but Linda got COVID, and as the report we were getting there is that the medicines to help with those things with COVID, they don't have it at any of the pharmacies in Jackson where they have moved to now. So keep them in your prayers. Also want to remember Ellen and Jerry Robinson. This is Linda Miller's son-in-law's stepfather. He actually came down to visit her son-in-law, to have a visit with them, and was on their way back home, had some health issues, stopped in Columbus, Ohio, University Hospital. Here they were just saying it was some allergies that he was maybe having, but once they got there, they found out that he does have pneumonia. And they're not sure that he's even going to make it out of the hospital. So his name is Jerry Robinson. That's the last one you see on the prayer list there. And keep Ellen in your prayers, his wife also, as well as the rest of the family. And then one other that I did not add to the prayer list that I wanted to update you, share with you. My stepdad's mom had a heart attack last week, has fluid on her lungs. They've told her that she would not be able to probably make it through any of the surgeries, so they have sent her back home with hospice. Talked to her yesterday. She sounds good, but you know, if you've known any kind of situations with that, with fluid on your lungs and the damage that a heart attack can do, that will just continue to get worse. They do have her on Lasix to help remove some of the fluid and stuff there, so pray for her, pray for the family there. That everything will be peaceful and she'll get strength that she needs. Any other prayer requests? Just jotting a note down here. Okay, so this is Hanka Graham that we're updating you online with. She is cancer-free. We praise the Lord for that. She started back to work today, you said? Or this week? Okay, and so we praise the Lord for that. Thank you so much for your prayers for her. What a wonderful blessing to hear that. Any other updates or additions on that side? All right, on our nursing home assisted living list, if you'll remember Beverly Daniels at NHC Tullahoma, Hoyt Farrell at Legacy Nursing Home over in Manchester, Janet Carter, who's at NHC Tullahoma, Mary Lee Stringfield at Lynchburg Nursing Home, Ken Sargent, who's at NHC Franklin, that's Barry's father, and then Jean C. Graves. She went home. Okay. And she's doing better? Okay. So Jean C. Graves did go home, so we'll move her off of that list, continue to pray for her at home, but she's doing much better, so praise the Lord for that. Any others? All right, I don't see any there. I don't see any on Facebook there. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer for these prayer requests that we mentioned tonight, maybe some unspoken needs that you have on your hearts also. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the blessings of this day. We thank you, Father, that you have given us life, that we are in your presence even now. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. And Father, in thanking you for your grace and your mercy, we recognize, Lord, your holiness and our unholiness. Father, we think thoughts that we ought not to sometimes. We do things we shouldn't do. We do not do things we should be doing. And so, Father, we pray that you will transform and change our lives, not from the outside in, not conforming our behaviors, but, Lord, having a transformation of our hearts. Make us more and more each day like Christ. And to do that, Lord, we come and confess our sins before you. We ask, Lord, for you to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. Wash us as white as snow with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And Father, as you do that work of transformation in our lives, fill us, Lord, more and more with the power of your Holy Spirit, because we recognize and understand that we cannot do it in and of ourselves. We cannot live the way we should. We cannot stop from doing the things we shouldn't be doing without that transformation and without the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and our lives. So we ask tonight, Father, for you to do your work, because we especially want you to hear our prayers. A reminder from your word reminds us, Lord, that if we regard iniquity in our hearts, if we hold on to sin within our hearts, if we have unconfessed sin and we refuse to deal with it, your word says you will not hear our prayers from heaven. It becomes a hindrance in our prayer walk with you. And so, Father, we pray that as you forgive us of our sins, may you hear our prayers. Many we are uplifting tonight. We want to ask for your blessings upon them physically. We ask, Lord, that you will, you are the great physician, bring the healing that they need to their bodies, give them strength in their bodies, help them to continue to recover, do what only you can do. Lord, there is nothing that is impossible in your power, in your hands. And so we uplift all of these people, we place them into your hands, and we ask for your will to be done, for you to be glorified in their lives, for you to bring good into their lives, Lord, and to bring that healing that they so desperately need. Father, I pray also that you will be with them and walk with them, as some may have some days to still walk through some valleys. And Father, I pray that you will help them to find peace and rest and strength in your presence. Father, I pray that you would help them, Lord, to be a witness to people around them, to family members, to caregivers. And so, Father, we just pray for your will to be done in their hearts and in their lives. Be with each one of these that we prayed, not only physically, there are so many more needs that are emphasized in these prayer requests, especially the spiritual needs. If there are any that we're praying for tonight off this list, Lord, that don't know Christ as their Lord and their Savior, use whatever situations that they're going through, bring people across their path who will share the good news of the gospel. Use us in whatever way that you will to encourage them to faith in Christ. And Lord, we just pray for your will to be done. Give us the boldness to share with them, Lord, to be an encouragement to them. And Father, we just pray for you to be glorified and honored in those things. Father, we pray for our church as we're out of our sanctuary for a few weeks. We pray that, Lord, you will continue to grow the church. You will continue to stir the hearts of many people, those who, Lord, you maybe have already been stirring to join our church, maybe those who are Christians already, some maybe, Lord, who are thinking about joining. We pray that you will just work in their hearts to bring them to that place. Lord, there are many, Lord, that we know that we that go out, that hear the message across the airwaves of the internet, as well as who come to church services, who may not know Christ. And Father, we just pray that each and every opportunity that we have, whether it's a service like this on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning, that you would prepare the hearts of people to hear your word, to hear your truth, to hear the gospel message, and to come to faith in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We pray, Heavenly Father, for you to be with our youth who are meeting in another part of our building. We pray, God, that you'll just continue to pour out your spirit upon them. Thank you, Lord, for those youth who are coming. And we just pray, God, that you will bless them for that. Lead them, guide them, help them to be godly examples to their friends. Especially, Lord, as we have just begun the school year here, we pray for all of our students from our church, as well as the families and the extended families. We pray for all of the students that are all at all of our local schools, and just ask God for your protection upon them. We pray, God, that not only would you protect them physically, but protect their hearts and their minds from the exposure to the sins and the evils of this world. Father, we pray that you will be with all of the administrators, be with all of the teachers. We pray, God, for you to raise up godly teachers and godly people working in administration in our schools, Lord. We pray, God, that you will just do a great work of bringing more people to faith in Christ through those students, whether it's in elementary school or in high school. Father, we pray for your blessings upon us tonight as we come to study your word too as adults. We pray, God, that you will speak your truth into our hearts from the book of Jeremiah. I pray, God, that this message will be applicable to where many of us may be. And Father, there may be those who are watching online that will hear this message. Lord, sometimes when we're going through chaos and we see the chaos of this world around us, we wonder, what in the world is going on? And what do I need to do with all the chaos that we see? So, Father, I pray that you will give us direction, give us wisdom, give us understanding from your word tonight. We ask your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, take your Bibles and turn to Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. I've entitled this message tonight, Trusting God When Nothing Makes Sense. Trusting God When Nothing Makes Sense. You know, faith has always required us to look beyond the present moment and trust God for what he has promised in the future. In many ways, faith is the practice of delayed gratification. In other words, it's choosing to obey God today, even when today's obedience doesn't produce today's reward. Many times it's a reward that's tomorrow, or maybe even far off out in the future, maybe even in eternity. And so faith is believing that God's promises are certain, even when his timing is beyond our understanding. That kind of faith does not come naturally. We are a people who like immediate results. All you have to do is look around in our culture and see all of the things that we do and expect of convenience. We don't want to have to wait for anything. I mean, just think about what we're doing tonight in streaming live across the internet waves. You remember the day when you'd hear the dial-up going, and you'd be like, is it ever going to connect? And now we're streaming megabytes across the waves. And the Word of God is going out even farther than we ever could have imagined before. And so we don't always understand. It doesn't always come naturally, and we always want immediate results. We want to see the harvest as soon as we plant the seed. But yet God often teaches us to wait because waiting deepens our trust in him. So we're going to see this principle, and we do see this principle throughout our everyday life. A loving parent understands that saying no is often more loving than saying yes. Discipline might bring tears today, but it produces strength and character for tomorrow. You know, think of it in this way. Children who learn responsibility, who learn self-control, who learn perseverance while they're young are being prepared for challenges that they can't and we can't yet even imagine. But if you wait until they're teenagers or you wait until they're in college to try to teach them some things, it's almost too late to teach them those things as a parent, not beyond God's control and God's work in their lives. But it is so much more difficult. That's why we need to be pouring in to children, into their hearts and into their lives. You know, the immediate moment may be difficult, but the long-term reward is worth every sacrifice. You know, love often chooses what's best over what feels best. And the same is true in our stewardship. Because from a worldly perspective, investing everything we have in this life seems reasonable. And yet Jesus repeatedly teaches us to invest in what cannot be lost, to invest in eternity. Every dollar that is given for God's kingdom, every act of generosity, every sacrifice made for Christ is stored in a place where no thief can steal and no decay can destroy it. The world measures wealth by what we accumulate here, by what you've got here. He who has the most toys wins. It's kind of the theme of our world. But God measures it by what we lay up in treasures in eternity. Faith believes that God's investment strategy is always wiser than ours. Even leadership reflects this truth because the world says to promote yourself. The world says protect yourself. The world says gain every advantage you can. Jesus taught something, though, altogether different. He said that greatness comes through serving. It comes through, influence comes through humility, and victory comes through sacrificial love. You see, a life that's poured out into others, you may not get a lot of applause right now. But heaven is recording every faithful act of service. God's rewards are often delayed, but they're never denied. And maybe that's why so many people become discouraged in their walk with God. They know the promises, but they expect them on their timetable rather than on God's timetable. They know His promises there. The Scripture does promise perfect healing. It promises complete justice. The Scriptures promise unimaginable riches for God's children. But many of those promises reach their fullest fulfillment in God's eternal kingdom rather than in this present world. And so we often become frustrated because we confuse God's certainty with our sense of urgency. Now understand this, God never breaks a promise, but He alone determines when and how those promises are fulfilled. And that brings us to Jeremiah 32, because Jeremiah finds himself in one of the darkest moments of Judah's history. Jeremiah is surrounded by the Babylonian army. Jerusalem is. The nation is on the verge of collapse. Jeremiah himself is confined because he's faithfully proclaimed God's message. Humanly speaking, every sign is pointing towards loss, defeat, and hopelessness. Now, if you remember the beginning of his call from God, God told him this is not going to be easy. So God had already warned him about what was coming. But then God asked Jeremiah to do something that appears completely unreasonable. He tells him to purchase a piece of land that's about to fall into the enemy's hands. Now, if you're thinking from this, from an earthly perspective here, investing in a piece of land that you know the enemy is fixing to take, you're not ever going to have it again, it makes no sense to invest in that kind of way. It would be like buying property in a city that's about to be destroyed. And yet God's command was never about real estate. His command is about faith. And so this purchase becomes a visible declaration that God's promises are going to outlast the nation's present crisis. And this is where Jeremiah teaches us one of the greatest lessons about trusting God in the book of Jeremiah. Sometimes obedience is easy because you can easily see the benefits. But there are other times when obedience seems costly, it seems confusing, it seems illogical. And those are the moments when genuine faith is revealed. Faith obeys the circumstances. And obeys the circumstances, even when the circumstances argue against it. Faith trusts when the evidence seems contrary. And faith rests not in what it can see, but in the unchanging character of our God. So when we understand that, you begin to discover something remarkable. That obedience to God is never the greatest risk. The greatest risk is refusing to obey God. So what appears to be a sacrifice in the present is actually an investment in God's unfailing future. Jeremiah trusted the promise rather than the circumstances. And that's exactly what God calls each of us to do today. So let's look at the text and see where we get this from. Notice verse 1 down through verse 15. You see that promises can be perplexing. Promises from God's word can be perplexing. There are moments in the Christian life when God's commands seem to fit perfectly with our circumstances. But there are moments when his instructions seem to be totally contrary, in contradiction to everything you can see. And so Jeremiah 32 brings us to one of those moments. God had already said that judgment was coming to Judah. Babylon had surrounded Jerusalem. The city's fall is inevitable. It is coming. And Jeremiah had faithfully proclaimed that message for years. And instead of being honored for speaking the truth, he found himself imprisoned by King Zedekiah because the king didn't want to hear what God had to say. Jeremiah had done exactly what God asked him to do. And yet his circumstances seem to grow worse instead of better. Let's read the verses 1 to 15. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. At that time, the army of the king of Babylon was besieging Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the guard that was in the palace of the king of Judah. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had imprisoned him, saying, "Why do you prophesy and say, 'Thus says the Lord, behold, I am giving this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall capture it.' Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape out of the hand of the Chaldeans," that's the Babylonians, "but shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him face to face and see him eye to eye. And he shall take Zedekiah to Babylon, and there he shall remain until I visit him, declares the Lord. Though you fight against the Chaldeans, you shall not succeed." Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came to me. Behold, Hanamel, the son of Shalom, your uncle, will come to you and say, 'Buy my field that is at Anathoth, for the right of redemption by purchase is yours.' Then Hanamel, my cousin, came to me in the courtyard of the guard in accordance with the word of the Lord and said to me, 'Buy my field that is at Anathoth in the land of Benjamin for the right of possession and redemption is yours. Buy it for yourself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. And I bought the field of Anathoth from Hanamel, my cousin, and weighed out the money to him, 17 shekels of silver. I signed the deed, sealed it, got witnesses, and weighed the money on scales. Then I took the scaled deed of purchase containing the terms and the conditions and the open copy. And I gave the deed of purchase to Baruch, the son of Neriah, son of Mahashai, in the presence of Hanamel, my son, my cousin, in the presence of the witnesses who signed the deed of purchase, and in the presence of all the Judeans who were sitting in the court of the guard. So in other words, he's producing all the documents here that there's no backing out of this. This wasn't just a gentleman's agreement. You'll buy the land. Yes, I'll buy the land. And then now Jeremiah's going to back out of it. No, this is legally documented here in the presence of witnesses. Even in amongst the presence of all the Judeans who were sitting in the court of the guard. Verse 13, he says, I charged Baruch in their presence, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, both this sealed deed of purchase and this open deed, and put them in an earthenware vessel that they may last for a long time. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall again be bought in the land. So think about what happens here. Here is Jeremiah, who is sitting confined in the court of the guard. He couldn't change the nation's direction. He could not alter God's plan of judgment. Humanly speaking, there was nothing left for him to do. He had preached the message till he was blue in the face and nobody would listen. And then the Lord spoke. And God tells Jeremiah that his cousin is going to come offer him the opportunity to purchase family field in Anathoth. And sure enough, just like he said, Hananel arrived and offered the land for sale. And it was at that moment Jeremiah knows that's from God. There's no mistaking what's happened here. He realizes this is not just some business opportunity. This is a divine appointment. From a human perspective, God's command to purchase that land made no sense whatsoever. Why would anybody purchase land in a country that's about to be conquered? The Babylonians are soon going to occupy the territory. I mean, think about property values. What's going to happen to the property values? They're about to become worthless. If there was ever a bad time to invest in real estate, this was it. Imagine buying a home in the middle of a war, in a war zone, just days before an invading army arrives. No financial advisor would ever recommend that. No economist would ever approve it. Everything about this transaction seemed foolish. And yet faith has never been measured by whether God's commands make sense to the world. Faith is always measured by whether we trust God's word more than we trust our circumstances. Jeremiah bought the field. Why did he buy the field? Because he believed that God's promise was more certain than the Babylonian army. He understood, yes, judgment's coming. Judgment's not going to be God's final word, though. One day, he understood God is going to restore his people to this land. And so this seemingly irrational purchase would one day become a testimony to God's faithfulness. That's why he says, put it in an earthenware vessel, seal it up, put it in something that this document is not going to fade, it's not going to get eaten by the moths over time, it's going to be there when all of this is said and done. We're going to be able to go back and open this, and it's going to be perfectly visible there, and you're going to see, yes, that's what God was saying 70 years ago. Because think about it, 70 years is how long they stay in this exile in Babylon. So he's preparing for that because of the promise of God. So in many ways, Jeremiah's decision reflects the daily life of every believer. Because we constantly make choices that only make sense if God's promises are true. We forgive people when revenge seems the justified option. We give generously when it seems wiser that maybe I ought to hold tightly to what I've got. We remain faithful when compromise appears easier. To the world, those decisions often seem unreasonable. But faith always looks beyond your current today circumstances to tomorrow's promises. Jeremiah's purchase was more than just a private act of trust. It was a public declaration that he believed every word God had spoken. Think about all the witnesses that see him doing this purchase. All the people who are signing on to it in a sense. I saw him do it. I saw him write it. And what a witness that is going to be. He spent years preaching God's word and that God would judge his people and that God would ultimately restore them. And now God gives him the opportunity, in essence, to put his money where the message had been. It would have been easy to preach hope while refusing to invest personally in that hope. Instead, Jeremiah demonstrated that he truly believed what he had been proclaiming all along. And that's why Scripture carefully records every detail of this transaction. The silver is weighed. The deed is signed. The witnesses observe the purchase. The documents are sealed. They're preserved in the earthen jar so that they last for many years. Every step serves as a visible testimony that this land is one day going to have value again because God had promised restoration. Jeremiah's investment was not based on the present condition of the land, but it was based on the future certainty of God's world. That's an important lesson for us because when God's promises seem perplexing, our first response should not be panic. Our first response should be prayer. We shouldn't assume that confusing circumstances mean that God has abandoned his plan. Often God calls us to trust him more deeply than when we understand him the least. And like Jeremiah, you may not always comprehend, you may not always understand what God is doing, but you can always trust the one who never has failed to keep his promises. So that's our first point. The second is this. Praise frames prayer when God's promises are perplexing. Praise frames prayer when God's promises are perplexing. Now notice Jeremiah prays a model prayer for when the work and the will of God seem confusing. Now, this prayer could be its own lesson or its own sermon, if you would. So let's look at the anatomy of this prayer that's prayed in a moment when we need to trust God but find that his promises are perplexing. The first thing I want you to see here about this praise that frames prayer when God's promises are perplexing is that praise, notice praise, is it acknowledges that nothing is impossible with God. Notice verse 16 and verse 17. After I had given the deed of purchase to Baruch, the son of Neriah, I prayed to the Lord. First step, always pray to the Lord. Verse 17, Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power, and by your outstretched arm, nothing is too hard for you. One of the most encouraging truths in this passage is that Jeremiah did not pretend to understand everything God was doing. After he purchased that field, he didn't just put on a smile and say, well, I don't got any questions. He obeyed God. But then he brought his questions to God. There's an important lesson in that for every believer. Faith doesn't require us to have all the answers. Faith requires us to know where to take our unanswered questions to. Jeremiah's prayer is a great prayer here in the Old Testament because it teaches us how to pray when God's ways seem confusing. Notice that he doesn't begin with his problem. He doesn't start with the problem. He begins with God's character. Before he ever speaks about what's troubling him, he reminds himself of who God is. That's always the proper starting point for prayer. Our perspective changes when our eyes move off of all this that's going on around us to the Lord himself. And so Jeremiah opens with praise, and he declares there, Lord, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Those words are not just empty religious language. Jeremiah had just risked everything by purchasing property that seemed like it had no future, no value for the future. Humanly speaking, that situation looked impossible. And yet before asking God for an explanation, Jeremiah reminds himself that impossibility is a human limitation, not a divine limitation. That truth is just as relevant today because we all carry burdens that sometimes seem overwhelming. Maybe it's a broken relationship. Maybe it's a frightening diagnosis. Maybe it's a wayward child or financial uncertainty. Or maybe it's decisions that leave us wondering, what in the world is God doing? Whatever fills our mind with anxiety falls into the category of impossible for us. But it never falls into that category for God. Think about it. What are you worried about? Got it in your mind? It falls in the nothing category. Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing. Now, you might want to put down the book. You might want to praise him for the reality that nothing is impossible for him. Many things are impossible for us, but nothing is impossible for God. That's why he asks us to pray as he does in John chapter 14:14. I don't have these scriptures on the screen, but I want to encourage you, maybe jot these down to look at them later. He says this in John 14:14, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Nothing's impossible. That's why we're to pray expectantly. James 1, verse 6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Nothing is impossible. That's why we're to ask boldly, like he says in Luke 11, verse 5 down through verse 8. He said to them, which of you has a friend who will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, don't bother me. The door's now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, because of his persistence, because he keeps on asking, he keeps on knocking, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. Nothing is impossible. And that's why we're to ask persistently, as Luke 11 verse 9 says, and I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. If you go back and you look in the, it's important sometimes to do word studies as you're doing, reading through the scriptures. Get a Bible dictionary and look up what a word means, because you'll see many times in a particular text that the word may mean a little bit more than what you think it means. So when he says, I tell you, ask, it's not a one-time asking. It's a keep on asking. It's a continuous action verb. Keep on asking, and it'll be given to you. When he says, seek, and you will find, it's a continue. Keep on seeking. When he says, knock, it's a continuous action of knocking, and it will be open to you, because nothing is impossible. You see, every time we pray, the thing we pray for falls into the nothing category. Everything you ask is nothing for God. What is something for me is nothing to him. In the end, that's why Jesus said in John 14:14, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. We can ask anything because everything is nothing for God. What overwhelms us is never beyond his power. The God who spoke this universe into existence has never encountered a problem he could not solve or a circumstance that he could not redeem. And that confidence explains why Scripture repeatedly calls us to pray with faith, to pray with expectancy. Jesus invited his followers to ask boldly because God is able. James tells us, as we read there, pray without doubting because God is faithful. Throughout the Scriptures, the Gospels, Christ encourages persistence in prayer because our Heavenly Father delights in answering according to his perfect will. Every request that we bring before him is small when you compare it to his limitless power. Secondly, notice this about praise. Praise acknowledges that God is faithful and just. Verse 18 and 19. You show steadfast love to thousands, but you repay the guilt of fathers to their children after them. O great and mighty God, whose name is the Lord of hosts, great in counsel and mighty indeed, whose eyes are open to all the ways of the children of man, rewarding each one according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Notice Jeremiah doesn't stop by praising God's power. He also praises God's character. He acknowledges God is faithful. He's loving. He's wise. He's perfectly just. He keeps his covenant. He rewards obedience. And yet, he also judges sin. Jeremiah understood why Judah was facing the discipline it was facing. The nation suffering was not evidence that God had failed. It was evidence that God had stayed true to his holy character. God's justice is every bit as certain as his mercy. But then notice the last part of this part. That praise that he gives is that God redeems. He says, you have, in verse 20, you have shown signs and wonders in the land of Egypt and to this day in Israel and among all mankind, and have made a name for yourself as at this day. You brought your people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and wonders, with a strong hand, an outstretched arm, and with great terror. And you gave them this land which you swore to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. What's he referring to here? He's referring to the promise that was given way back there. Now remember, that's still in light of the present transaction that he's just made on this piece of land. God, you promised it back there. I'm banking on the promise you made back here. He says, you gave them the land which you swore to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they entered and took possession of it, but they did not obey your voice or walk in your law. Jeremiah recalls God's mighty acts of redemption. He remembers how the Lord delivered Israel from Egypt with signs and wonders. Again and again, God had rescued his people when there seemed to be no way forward. Every generation of Israel had witnessed God's faithfulness. As a New Testament believer, we have a greater reason to praise God, because we can look beyond Egypt to the cross. There we see God's greatest act of redemption. You see Jesus with his arms outstretched to bear our sin, satisfying God's justice and securing our salvation forever. His resurrection assures us that no promise of God can ever fail, because the same Savior who redeemed us by his grace is one day going to establish his everlasting kingdom. Every promise rests securely in him. Now, that pattern of prayer, that pattern of beginning prayer with praise, is not just unique to Jeremiah. It runs all throughout the Bible. And this is where we'll close tonight. We'll finish this chapter up next week. It runs all throughout the Bible, because the Psalms continually call God's people to worship before they petition. In other words, before you bring the request to God, worship Him. When Jesus taught His disciples to pray, you remember the Lord's Prayer? What did He say in the beginning of the Lord's Prayer? He didn't say, give us this day our daily bread. He didn't talk about the needs to start. He talks about our Father in heaven. Hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. The focus of prayer is always God before it's about us. Because when God's glory becomes our greatest concern, then your prayers begin to align with His purpose rather than just merely our preference. The early church understood that principle well. In Acts 13, the believers were worshiping and fasting before the Holy Spirit directed them to send out Barnabas and Saul. Worship prepared their hearts to hear God's voice. Often the clarity that we so seek and desire comes not while we're demanding answers. Lord, tell me why this is happening. What's going on? The answer, the clarity comes when you bow in adoration before the Lord. Because a heart filled with praise is far more prepared to receive God's direction. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much. Just barely touching the tip of the iceberg. So much left under the surface to look at. Father, I pray that we will rest a while in Jeremiah 32. May we spend some time between now and next week reading through this chapter and gleaning more and more from it that it's not about me. It's not about our concerns. It's not about our troubles. It's not about our circumstance, even though that might be what prompted us to come to You in prayer to start with. First and foremost, it's about You and acknowledging who You are, that You are our God. You are our Redeemer. You love us. You care for us. You provide for us. You always have, and You always will. Lord, help us to rest in Your promises. To just do that for the next week. Rest in the promise of Your word. And Lord, I pray that You would change us internally from the inside out to be more confident, more like Christ in our walk, in our talk with You, at having, Lord, that confidence to know no matter what comes, You're in control. And You're going to see us through safely to the other side. Lord, be with us, lead us, and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, thank you so much for being here tonight in person. Thank you for being there online on our social media platforms. We'll be back Sunday morning, back here in the fellowship hall, so come join us if you can. 9:15 for Sunday school classes, 10:30 for worship. Look forward to seeing you this Sunday. You have a blessed week, a safe week. We'll see you then.